Our gospel lesson for this Sunday again comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, starting with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Also be translated, he will be among you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in God, and you in me, and I in you. They who've kept my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by God. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. I'm going to start this sermon with a potentially problematic question. What are your greatest fears? Psychologists will tell us, in part, that it somewhat depends on our life circumstances and even our age. Evolutionary biologists will tell us that some of our fears are hardwired due to the process of evolution itself. And you're probably fairly familiar with the poll taken of adults in this country. It's pretty much the same year after year. And the list of the greatest fears include, you probably know, number one, public speaking. Then death, spiders and or snakes, fear of darkness, heights, social situations and other people, flying, confined spaces, and open spaces. Wouldn't it be horrible to have both of those? And thunder and lightning. And other commonly listed fears include loneliness, fear of sickness and pain, and fear of financial problems. And while most people have a fear of change and the loss of the familiar, these are especially strong in fundamentalist personalities. And many politicians and business executives fear the loss of power and authority, as do many in the religious community. But going back in age, teenagers, for the most part, while they have some of these fears, have some additional ones that are especially prevalent for their age bracket, many of which are carried into adulthood. These include the fear of fitting in, of belonging, of whether or not their lives will make a difference. And many do indeed now fear for their personal safety at school, including bullying. Now, all these teenagers also face both the joys and fears associated with increased independence as they grow out of childhood. This is a fearful time for parents as well. Going back even further, not surprisingly, young children, especially toddlers, deal with yet a relatively different set of fears, and most of those have to do with their safety. Common fears in toddlers include fear of the dark, monsters, weather, fear of bad dreams, strangers, masks and costumes, the bathroom, and fear of doctors and dentists. But perhaps one of the greatest fears that very young children have is the fear of separation and of being left alone. Toddlers process the leaving of their primary caregiver as, "Why are you leaving me? What if you never come back? I feel safe when you are with me and afraid when you get out of my sight." Well, interestingly, adults can also experience that fear of separation and being left alone. And I would suspect that each one of us could tell stories about times when we had to deal with separation anxiety, whether it be triggered by having to move, or the ending of a relationship, or the loss of a loved one, or leaving a job, With all of these listed fears and more, learning how to deal with them and cope with life, primarily by putting them into perspective, is crucial to our well-being. And some of our fears are necessarily based in reality. Other fears, however, often have less basis in reality, but are rather a product of an overactive imagination that tends to obsess over the worst that could happen. But of course, it rarely does. Well, you may be wondering what any of this has to do with today's gospel reading from John 14. Well, actually, quite a lot. The author of the Gospel of John shares a story that deals directly with a specific and very real fear, the fear of being abandoned. Within the context of what is known as the farewell discourse, Jesus acknowledges this fear that is being experienced by his disciples after he told them, during what we call the Last Supper, that he would soon be leaving them, in reference to his arrest and crucifixion. And today's biblical text, however, is addressed to more than just those disciples in that upper room on the last night of Jesus' life. The author of the Gospel of John is also addressing an issue that is important to his own community of faith, some 60 years or so after the death of Jesus. They would have been wondering, how is it that the Christian community can experience the spiritual presence of Christ without the physical presence of Jesus? For this new generation of Christians, and for every following generation, including ours today, the Scriptures promise the continued presence of the same divine Spirit of God that was in Jesus of Nazareth. In different English versions of the Bible translate the Greek word parakletos, from which we get paraclete, as the advocate, or a comforter, or a counselor. And we're also told that this divine Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And one of the purposes of this Spirit of truth is to remind believers of what Jesus taught, and then to empower them to fulfill his commandments, and especially the commandment that appears in a few verses after this one, to love one another. In this way, they will know that Christ dwells not only with God, but also dwells with them. The author of John goes on to reveal that love, which is so central to his understanding of Jesus' mission, is defined in terms not of emotional feelings, like, I love you, but of accepting and obeying Jesus' instructions. Biblical commentator Nancy Ramsey writes, love is seen in Jesus' life as service and compassion. It is also seen in his fierce protest against those who abuse this vision of the value of each person and the importance of an ethic of mutual regard and care. The love that Jesus commands has as its goal the well-being of all persons, regardless of social status or any other distinction. Then comes the remarkable assurance that the love Jesus offers is in fact God's love. The love to which God calls us does not intend hierarchy. The reality that love creates discloses to us the truth that God calls us to be neighbors, to recognize in the other one who God also loves and calls us to love. Now, admittedly, the gospel writer has indeed set up a kind of distinction, which I know we try to avoid, between who is inside the community of faith and who is outside. This distinction, however, and this is very important, unlike modern times, is not about what a person believes. Rather, it is between those who love God, themselves, their neighbors, and even their enemies, and those who do not love. Those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus are defined then, according to John, as those who obey Jesus' command to love. Perhaps you've never thought of this as a way to define what it means to be a Christian. When we, as followers of the ways of Jesus, live in love, thereby keeping his commandment, we experience the indwelling presence of God. Again, that in turn is an effective way to define the role of the Holy Spirit, as that which reminds us and empowers us to love others. Or to put it another way, the telltale sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is our capacity to embody love. And in this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus does not promise the indwelling Spirit to individuals per se, but to the community that lives in love. Now that has a lot to say as to the role of the church today and our own mission. The lesson for the early church was that relationship with Christ does not depend on Jesus' physical presence, but on the presence of the love of God in the life of the community. This emphasis on community rather than on the individual directs us to ask of ourselves, how well are we as a congregation embodying and living out this commandment to love? How is love present in every aspect when we gather together in community? Love for others and for one another must always be the primary motivation for our ministry efforts. For when we love one another, that is when we experience the presence of Christ, the divine Spirit of God's presence within and among us. So these ongoing promises of God's presence, the continuing spiritual presence of Christ among us, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit reiterate one of the greatest promises found in the entire Bible, John 14:18. I will not leave you orphaned. Recall these words anytime you feel separation anxiety or the fear of abandonment or of being left alone. Perhaps this very day you are feeling the need for greater connection. Perhaps someone else in this congregation is experiencing this. Well, you can count on it. So what can you and I do to help? Well, perhaps each one of us can be more intentional in reaching out to one another, and not just to those in obvious need. Now, I recognize that that isn't possible to reach out to everyone at this level. That's just too overwhelming a task for any individual. But we are a community. That's the approach being taken by our congregational care ministry team, that we are all responsible for caring for one another. So perhaps then, reach out in love to just one person or two that you sense God may be calling you to reach out toward. And as importantly, each one of us can be more intentional in allowing others to reach out to us. And yes, I know how hard that can be for some of us introverts and isolationists who are much more comfortable keeping our force fields up. A loving community is there for one another. This is one of the vows we take, for instance, when someone is baptized or becomes a member of this family of faith. Remember Jesus' promise, I will not leave you orphaned. And as the ancient psalmist so poetically wrote, Know that there is no place that you can go where God is not also present with you. And add to that the promise from John 14 that God is also always within you and among us. Amen.